The following is an arrival address given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on March 10, 1988 in Atlanta, Georgia.
If I remember chronologically, probably, and everything, you know, I can just do some highlights. Well, from here I went to, was invited to the New York Rath Yatra, where they had the big Rath Yatra festival down Fifth Avenue. And when I see some devotees here, Laura, Lara, and Maria, I think they were there also. And a nice, gathering in the, what's it called, Washington Square Park or something. With the festival in there, everything set up. In New York, there's a lot of people there anyway, so they came and participated. In Atlanta, I don't know when there's so many people at one place, except on New Year's Day or something. But there's a lot of people. So it was very nice, they had dramas and things. They asked me to give a short introductory talk. Actually, the Rath Yatra was a little delayed because Balaram's car developed a flat tire or something. So they moved Balaram to Jagannath. So because the Rath was late, I booked a flight that evening for Toronto because they told me the whole Rath would be finished by 6. But everything was delayed. So I had to just kind of rush off. There's so many old devotees. It would have been nice to stay and talk to everyone, preach to them. But I went up to Toronto. They had already arranged a big program, and there were about 200 Indians, mainly Indian origin people, Canadians, and did a program in Toronto. Stayed there for about 2 days, and then went on to England for a day, and then I went to Eastern Europe. I don't know if I'm supposed to, although now this country I went to is legalized. I don't know how much I'm supposed to say or not, because it's still sensitive, you know. Legal means that now they're able to legally function, and they want to build a temple. I don't know how much I'm supposed to say or not, so maybe I can't say that which countries I went to, but I went to 2 different countries. One just for a short time, and one for several days. But they're very fired up, chanting kirtan. About 100 devotees went to one farm they had, and they were there, fired up kirtan, just jumping up and down like anything. And what lectures they had, they just like, they don't listen, they drink with their ears. Then things there are really cheap compared to American standards, and the dollar there goes a long way, depending on where you cash it, of course. But anyway, I asked the devotees, and they said actually they like to stay there in Eastern Europe because people are more simple and receptive, good place for preaching. As long as they're able to preach freely, they like it there. This particular country, they didn't have too much trouble. They had to be careful, of course. And it was real, they were not legal when I went there, but when I was there, they announced that it was legalized. So that was like also nice. So then I flew and went back to Mayapur, India, just in time for the Lord Jagannath Rath Yatra, I just got there. There was a huge flood in Calcutta. So much rain, all the streets were flooded. I just arrived in Calcutta, and there's like 3 feet of water through the city because the plumbing is done there in the British time. And they never repaired, I mean, put new plumbing in since that time. So they only designed small piping, which who knows what clogged up in it. So whenever there's a heavy rain, the whole city floods. Sometimes 4 or 5 feet of water. For a few hours, then it kind of drains off. So here was one of those heavy rains, and they came out to pick me up with a big bus because they said there's no way a car can get through the water. And I said I want to go directly to the Panihati Festival. And I'd already sent ahead money that was donated. Of course, theoretically donated from here. I kind of loaned it, credited it. I got the authorization from the temple board. But I sent the funds ahead, and they'd already purchased the things, the chira and the dahi and the fruits and everything. And got to Panihati a little late because my flight was slightly delayed in the rain. So they'd already started and offered. The Bhakti Chudra Maharaj had been there, and I just saw him as leaving. He said, we already offered, and we started distributing. About 5,000 people already got. We expected about 50,000, but because of the rain, I don't know today how many there'll be. So we had to go first through about knee-deep water in a low part. Then we, after that, right around the Panihati and Raghav Pandit's place, it was high and dry, no problem. It was near the Ganges, so it could drain off anyway. So on behalf of all the devotees of New Panihati Dam, I offered obeisances at the banyan tree where Nitai had the Chiradai festival on that day. Offered a prayer for everyone's benediction. And then proceeded this year. We completely covered the Raghava Pandit's house with a tent, waterproof tent, luckily. And they had offered the prasad Chiradai to Nityananda at the tree, as well as to the Radha Madan Mohan deities, Raghava Pandit. And then they were distributing. So they said that 15,000 people got prasadam that day. Other people were lined up, and they were giving leaf plates, and then because there was so many, such a crowd, they tried a new thing, and they had little plastic bags and putting the chira and they mixed in that. So I took, they gave me a clay pot, one of the, like we have our clay pots, one clay pot. But I tell you, we really decorated our, I wish I could have got there earlier to decorate the Mahaprasad. I think we had a more decorative offering here. And then we, but that was very nice. And one thing they had, we didn't have, they had jackfruit. Of course, we had a few things they didn't have. Raspberries, strawberries, and so on. But they had jackfruit, that was one thing. Somehow we had to get jackfruit. That was in the cedar wood. And actually, it's amazing how, in spite of, rain and everything, all the people, so many people gathered there doing kirtan at Panihati. This is, special blessing of Gaurmandal Bhumi, Lord Chaitanya's pastime place, that although there are so many obstacles, and even though Kali Yuga has proceeded, still, at least when there's a big festival, so many people do come. And that is the blessing of being born in India, being able to live there. Is that the tendency to respect the sadhus and to go to the festivals is there. So, after respecting some prasadam and being my beast and all the deities and everything, then headed out towards Mayapur. And the huge rain started again. So after 2 days in Mayapur, it was time for 1 or 2 days. It was Jagannath Snan Yatra festival. And Nitai Chand Maharaj had made a lot of arrangements. So he got about 1,000 clay pots piled up, the clay water pots. If you've ever been in Vrindavan, you've seen the little clay water pots. Well, not such big ones, with a small neck, but a little bit wider neck and smaller, not so big. Hold maybe a gallon, a three-quarter gallon. So then, on that day, he announced to all the villagers that if you want to bathe Jagannath, you have to take the water, empty water pot and chant in kirtan to the Ganges, take a bath with your clothes on. Fill it up with Ganges water, carry it on your head back to bathe Jagannath. Wet. So, amazing enough, of course, it was a little raining anyway. But thousands didn't come, but about 600-700 did come. A lot of them were women, men and women came. And when they came to our temple before going to the Ganges, so it just coincided with about 10 minutes before Govinda prayer. And there we could hear him coming down and going, Jagannath, 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 Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Jai. And they're like really fired up. And they were just, they had been walking 3 miles, chakana, chakana, chakana. By the time they reached the temple, they were like so intense, you know. And you know, you didn't know, so they went and started going around and eating. Then they had the darshan, and they bowed down, and you know, they kind of sat down, you know what to do. So they took darshan of Radhamara, then the Sakis, and Lord Chaitanya, Mayapurchandra, Narasimha Dev, all got the blessing. Then Prabhupada Puja and Prabhupada Prakrama. Then after that, we all headed out to the Ganges with the elephants. Went to the Ganges, and they all went in, filled up their water pots, and then Chaganath, Chaganath, Hare Krishna, the devotees, all along with about over 150 devotees. So we all went to Jagannath's temple, and there we did the, first we offered the Mahabhishek, all the Brahmins and priests, Panchagavya, Panchamrita, then about 108 different items of different herbs, you know, sandalwood, pusa, grass, various type of spices and water, then on a special bathing device that has 1,000 holes in it, 1,008, then they bathe with that, so it comes like a shower over the Lord. Then they put a Navaratna, 9 jewels, diamond, sapphire, ruby, like the 9 jewels, and they bathe water over that, so they take the jewel bath. Then fruit juices, orange juice, papaya juice, banana water, open a fresh banana, pour the water over. That thing also you put thing pour over. Then green coconuts, and so on. So finally, then everyone was allowed to line up with, they're still sitting there with their water pot. Wet. That's not what we're holding like this. then we had the devotees lined up with the, we had to keep that, they didn't, you know, it was like they had to hold the water high and not hit the deity with the pot. There's so many people, you know, and put tulsi in each pot as they came up. Jagannath had a Mahabhishek and he was dried off, and by that time it was, there was a pukur nearby, a little lake. I had just flown in like 2 days before, so I took a bath there with all the Gurukul kids, and we came back. The Maharti, they offered hundreds of preparations to Jagannath, all in Jagannath style, and in the clay pots and things they cooked. Because I hired a Brahmin Panda from Jagannath Puri a year or so ago, and he trained 2 devotees how to cook in the Jagannath Puri style. How to cook that. I know that's why in Mayapur you get those same kind of sweets and things again, Jagannath Puri, because they learn. Then the philosophy was explained behind Jagannath Snan Yatra, why we bathe Jagannath. He goes into, after this, of course, he won't see him for 15 days. When Lord Chaitanya couldn't see Lord Jagannath, he, with very great separation, he ran from the temple after it was closed to 11 miles away to Alalanath temple in Jagannath Puri. And he paid his obeisance to that deity of Lord Vishnu and just worshipped there. In fact, his body was so hot with separation when he paid his obeisances, he melted right into the stone. His vibration was so intense. That body imprint of Lord Chaitanya is still there in that temple. Daily worship is going on. 7 feet, you can see Lord Chaitanya's form. So then there was a big feast at Mayapur. By that time, of course, 5,000 people had already gathered. There was no room in the little temple. You had somehow or another, they, in batches, they fed very nice feast prasadam. They gave khichdi, naturally, Jagannath's favorite. They gave chutney, sabji, khichdi, a chutney. 4 items they gave. A sweet rice. I forget, either a sabji or a one sweet, or a pakora or something. There was 4 things, though. Everyone was very satisfied. Really nice piece. And of course there was, all the devotees got a little, and all the, a lot of the people got some of the Mahaprasadam, Mahamaha, hundreds of preparation they made. It's pretty amazing. So it was very ecstatic, and we really could feel the mercy of Jagannath. Just Jagannath is that this place in Mayapur is non-different from Jagannath Puri. In that holy dam in Mayapur, there's replicas of all the different holy places in India. Kashi, Banaras, Puskara, Badrinath, Govardhan, Radhakund, Shyamkund, Jagannath Puri, Dwarka, all the places, even Ayodhya, Dandakaranya, Mathura, all the different forests, they're all there within Gaurmanda Rumi and Navadvip Dham, Narasingha Kshetra. So this place happens to be the non-different place in Jagannath Puri. And of course, everyone can come and serve Lord Jagannath there. It's a special mercy that Jagannath gives his prasad. It's also very significant because Katyayani, I told this story some places, I don't know if I told it in America yet, maybe in LA, how Mother Parvati, there may not be time tonight, how Mother Parvati got the blessing of Krishna to give out Mahaprasadam, and how Jagannath came as one of the ways to fulfill that desire so everyone can get prasadam. But it explains the glories of Mahaprasadam. Maybe the next couple of days I can. So, then of course, the next big festival was the Rath Yatra festival in Calcutta, which was dedicated to the Soviet Hare Krishna devotees. Where recently in Soviet Union, the Hare Krishna movement had been recognized. I was thinking that we should invite the Soviet officials, and I came in to Calcutta to suggest it a couple of days before the Rath Yatra. That, when I got there, then Adidan Prabhu said that he and Bhakti Chirumar had just invited them yesterday. They got the same idea. So they had gone, and actually the Soviet Union consulate had invited them to the temple, and it told them, we're very sorry for all the difficulties, you know, that happened in Russia, but now that you've been recognized there, so you should stop making any propaganda against us. We're friends now. And then they show somehow this is how, you know, they showed that they had got a special order from the Kremlin. Apparently, you know, so you can see how big an effect the Hare Krishna devotees, all your things all over the world have. Especially in India, they were concerned. There shouldn't be any more bad press. They said, you know, we didn't know anything about Vedic culture. You know, we're friends with India, but they never tell us about their culture. About their religion. So we didn't know. We thought this was something from the West. Now we understand it's from India and everything. So then they got the idea, well, let's invite him to inaugurate the Rath Yatra. We dedicated it to the Soviet Union devotees. So they agreed. And we didn't tell anybody till the day of the night before the Rath Yatra informed all the press. Isn't it? We were afraid of... Because one time before, one government official agreed to come and we informed everyone, and then there's so much politics happened that the Communist Party there stopped him from coming. So he didn't inform anyone until either the day of the Rath, I believe. They just told all the newspapers. So there's no time for anyone to activate. So then the Consul General, which is like ambassadors where the embassy is in the capital, and then they're in where there's not the capital, the officer is called Consul General in other cities. So he couldn't come. But he sent his vice consul, and he sent his wife and son. The three of them came. And Bhakti Chumaraj and Adhijar and myself were there, and some other devotees, Subhag Swami Maharaj. So he garlanded them, so they all had nice garlands on. And then, you know what to do, so he took them up on top of the rock to give a speech. So then I had them put some camphor on a tray. I offered an arti to Jagannath to show them what to do, handed to the vice consul. So then, you know, he offered it. All the newspaper men are, you know, so then the wife comes and she offers, you know, they don't, because of course they didn't know what's going on. You know, ceremonies, right? Then they give a talk. He gave a talk praising ISKCON for dedicating this to the Soviet devotees, and how this will promote friendship between India and Russia and things like that. Then Bhakti Chuma spoke, and I spoke in Bengali. He was his only, like, my Bengali speech. He could understand Bengali, the vice consul. Then they offered a flower to Jagannath. Then they went down and we had them sweep the road. All the photographers. Then they pulled the rock ceremoniously, you know. So, next, then there was a very nice rock yard. Then they left, of course. There was a very nice rock yard. There were about 200,000 people watching it. And the whole rock must have been about a million people. It wasn't one of our smaller rocks. Because we had to start only half the route. We started right from the downtown bus terminus. Normally we start another 5 kilometers north, about 4 miles or so north. But the whole roads were torn up by subway construction. They're making the subway in Calcutta, famous subway. So they have a section open, it's another section. It's due to be finished in 1981. A little late. Anyway, it's quite a big achievement that they have it open. It's nice and clean also inside. What section is there? But the other part that they're doing, so we couldn't do the raft. So it's actually a very short raft for us. Only how many kilometers? That what we went this time? 7? Instead of 11 or so, or 12, 7 kilometers. Then we had a panel program for 7 days. And they had big tableaus, big floats in front of the raft. And you know that in India they just had the Ramayana series, which is very great, which is like for 76 weeks, kept the whole country, whenever the Sunday 10:40 happened, the whole streets would be empty, everything, you know. Like everywhere. Now you see all the vendors in the street, they sell Hanuman's gadas, those clubs. In fact, even the kids are beating each other with them. There's a problem, everyone's buying bows and arrow toys, and then one boy shot an arrow in the eye of his little brother, so people are protesting, this Ramayana is not good teaching. And out of 700 million people, somebody's going to do something. I mean, the people are really into the Ramayana. So we did one float there was a Kumbhakarna fighting against Ram and Lakshman. This was an amazing demon. He was, you know, 14, 15 feet high. He was like 10 feet wide with a big, you know, 8-foot head. His blood was coming from it. His arms were cut off, the blood pouring down. His eyes were red, turning. And then, you know, I was eating monkeys with his there's monkeys, you know, bleeding, hanging from his body, kind of cutting through. Then there was an arrow coming from Ram. Yeah. So the people, it was intrigued. It was really a huge battle scene, and a really ferocious black, gray, with brown and green, and all kinds of demon, you know. Red eyes. So, then they also had Lord Chaitanya with Jarikanda, what were the other floats? Nokalilas with the gopi rowing the boat. What else? And there was one Gajendra Moksha. That was with the Vishnu with the big 8-foot. How wide was that? Of the Garuda feathers? Oh, that was the Garuda last year. So they have that in a big panel, and they had question and answer booth. They had they have a Bhaktivedanta youth service booth. Then they have Brahmas. And there are different speakers. I spoke for 2-3 days at the end, one day in the beginning. Then there was, who was there from Bombay or something? Lokanath Maharaj came, Bhakti Chur Maharaj was there. Subhag. So I, a few days in the middle, I went to Assam for a day or so and came back. But every day there was the panel this year, designed a little differently, so not so much seating room was there. Normally about 10,000-15,000 can seat, but I don't think the seating accommodated more than 5,000. But our standing around might have been another few thousand. But then every night there must have been a crowd coming and going, between 15,000 to 25,000, maybe on the big days more. How many think more on Sunday? How many on Sunday? 40,000. You know, big thing. So while this was going on, Gopal Krishna Goswami came, he spoke one day also, the first night. So the day after that rat, of course, all the papers had big pictures of the, you know, Soviet Council inaugurates. So there was, you know, everyone was pleased, very big press. They went to see the Soviet Council, he's very happy, you know. So he had actually the clippings on his desk when they went to see him. And then the next day, the newspaper men, they're looking for a controversy. They went and asked all the local communist leaders, what do you think? Because Bengal is actually the state government. You know, in India they have multi-party democracy, not just two parties. They've got dozens and dozens of parties. I mean hundreds of parties, maybe prominent at least a few dozen. So in that particular state, there's a coalition of about 7 or 9 parties, which are the Communist Party, Marxist, Communist Party of India, the Forward Bloc, Socialist, like 7 different parties, and all left, it's called the Left Front. So they went and asked the Left Front leaders. The number one leader of the state, the chief minister, he didn't make any comment. And also the secretary of the leading party, he said, well, the Russians do what they like, you know. He didn't make any bad thing. But the other leader, they really were outspoken. They said, this is inconceivable, unimaginable that a Soviet Russia communist country would do such a thing. Inaugurate a religious function. Marxists said this is the opium of the people. How he could do it? You know, then another one said, you know, these people believe in fate. How they could go to their function? Another one said, we've been crushed by the left wheel of Jagannath. The next day was in the front page. So, you know, left front, ruling left front government leaders speak out against Soviet Council inauguration of Ratyatri. You know, so that is a big thing. Then they came and they did an interview with us for an hour and a half, the leading papers. And Bhakti Chu Maharaj and myself, he was there only 3 days, they went to Belgium. But that day we were both there. He did a long interview. And that was also started off in the front page and went on. It was like, you know, about, I don't know, it was a real long interview. They published everything with pictures of us. We gave our reply that no, it's quite appropriate that they do. Why they're complaining anyway? When they marry their daughters, they don't have religious function. Why are they having a double standard? Different things. And this is very good. The Soviet devotees have struggled so much. Now we've dedicated to them. Then the next day, again, they come back with some more bad comments. That time then the day after that, a news comes from Russia that in Russia, one of the state governments had aired a television show against the Hare Krishna devotees. And the Soviet Supreme Ministry of Cultural and Religious Affairs, whatever they call it, the minister of that, he made a national press release on television as well as in all the papers, denouncing them, that they had not given their permission to do that show, that they were against that show, that actually they had done a detailed study of the Hare Krishna movement. They infiltrated a couple of people into it, studied it. So the main criticisms of the TV show were that we starve our members for long periods of time. They, you know, sit and chant monotonous mantras until they totally lose their intelligence and their brain. We break up family, and we don't work. With socialist state, you have to do your work. We don't work. So these were the main criticisms. So they said, well, they're good food. It's a variety of food. It's vegetarian, but it's quite good. And they certainly, it's not monotonous, they have quite a variety. They said they only chant for an hour and a half to 2 hours a day. So that's not a problem that in 2 hours you can't be that, you know, people listen to music that long. So they didn't see that was a big problem. They do their work in factories as well as farms. We have given them recognition that they're not doing anything anti-state. So like that. So that came out in all the Indian papers. So while all the criticism coming from Russia, you know, the Russian government is like giving a message, no, Hare Krishna endorses the Hare Krishna movement. So that comes in. So that was another, you know, boom. So just like every day, it's like one day after the next, it's coming out. So then I had given a, then one, some few leaders of that left, they say, why they go to the ISKCON? ISKCON is American imperialistic organization. You know, they're all CIA, this, that, you know. That was just too much, you know, to have to hear that, you know. Because, so I gave a response to that, because they start attacking us, you know, why attack us? So then I wrote a reply and Adhidharam Prabhu put it in. I didn't put my name on it, but everyone put my name in the, although I didn't have my name on it, they still published my name in all the papers. And most of them gave, what the news release said was that in the time of Lord Chaitanya, he has also faced various obstacles and he was criticized by different people, including Jagai Madai. So, you know, we are going on preaching. This is not an anti-national organization. It's registered in India. There's no, nothing against us. We're simply preaching Indian culture, so why they're falsely accusing us? So we're also being falsely accused like Lord Chaitanya was falsely accused of. But anyway, the movement's going to go on, and this movement is going to be spread. One of the things we had said in the first interview, I just remember now, where they said, what do you think of Gorbachev? We said, well, with a name like he has, you can't help but like him. Because his name contains the name of Lord Chaitanya, Gorbachev. In fact, in Bengali, there's a word called bachao, which means save me. So for us, save me. Bachao, bachao. So one of the newspapers published Gor Bachao. But the Soviet devotees were saying, Gor, save us. So they sent Gor Bachao. Gor Bachao. Then the newspaper editors, they just took an opportunity just to take their shoes off and smash it on the face of all the left front leaders. They said, all right, the leader, he didn't say anything. And the head of the leading party, he just said the Soviet Union does what they like, they do what they feel good, they do it. But these other leaders, why they are criticizing? And they just tore them apart piece by piece, using very eloquent language, and it's just like satirical, just like, you know, this guy and that guy, which, you know, that guy. That's the papers into it. They know all this. So they just, what we couldn't do, they did. And then every famous writer, he wrote a feature articles and things, just writing like a comical, you know, satirical thing, smashing. You know what? Wrote a thing, Swami Gorbachev Ananda. The Gorbachev calls the Politburo meeting, and he calls the Hare Krishna devotee there. This is the thing. I'd like to introduce you to the new Hare Krishna devotees here. We've entered, you know, now and then, right? Because the whole thing. And then someone said, well, but Mr. Gorbachev, now, why have you allowed them, you know? And then he's like defending in different words. And he says, I want everyone to give a sound round of Hare Krishna. It's all in the paper. So it's like everyone's having a heyday. All the newspapers, it's like, you know, the people's imagination. You can't imagine what effect it had on the people of Bengal. They're very emotional people. And this, just like, you know, they don't think that Hare Krishna is just like been legalized in Soviet Russia and is 10,000, you know, they're just thinking like, you know, the whole Soviet Union is like, you know, flooded with Hare Krishna, which is not far off, but maybe they're really, you know, it's like, I hear people, rickshaw drivers and taxi drivers, yes, by the year 2000, the whole world will be following Lord Chaitanya. It was predicted, you know, you only have to wait another 10 years, the whole world. Now that Russia is gone, you know, there's no other problem. We're just waiting for China to shave up. Everyone, it's just like, you know, it's like we talk. I come, a newspaper editor, he came up, he just said, you know, Dandavad, Jai, just accept, you did it. You, Hare Krishna, you did it! You did it! You got the Soviet Union to sweep the road in front of Jagannath! You did it! It's just like, you know, everybody, you know, like, mind was totally swept away. Couldn't affect. So then the 10 minutes later, they just couldn't tolerate it. Like, everyone was just like going into them, you know. They're real sober once they did. The little guys, you know, they didn't know that the newspaper came up. What do you think? Oh, it's in Kissy, you know. They didn't realize how, you know, like, what a big splash it was going to be. So that, for my rebuttal that I published, as I mentioned, most newspapers, they publish it very soberly. But one newspaper just said, you know, Jai Pataka Swami accuses left-front leaders of being Jagai Madhas. Then the next day, out comes, you know, a rebuttal, you know, like in a kind of a hurt tone. How could this guy, just, you know, just because, you know, he may be a sannyasi and an acharya, this is what they, you know, in this country, we don't have, but in the Indian, they still do have. You never say acharya, but they wrote it, anyway, guru or whatever, he can't write these things. How can he say this? Of course, I gave an explanation that I didn't call them Jagai Madhai. I just said, you know, I explained. But anyway, they immediately jumped on it and they said, how can he say this? One said, you know, we never expected such a, you know, respectable person to say such a thing against us. Jagai Madhai were womanizers, drunkards. You know, some of the people say, hey, wait a minute. Then meanwhile, the news comes that in Poland, we are given recognition. Just 2 days before the return run. So we call, and then we call up the organizer of Polish Yatra, whether we can announce this to the press. He says, sure. So we call a new press conference and announce to them that now, because I had already said that in the future, other sort of communist countries also accept Krishna consciousness. So then 2 days later, we get the news, this bonus, it's recognized. So we phone up and Kirtiraj Prabhu said, yeah, you can give a news release, we don't mind. So then we give the news release, a press release to all the people, and then they publish again on the front page, you know, recognized in Poland. So it's just like, you know, one after another, you know. Then there was the return route, all the newspaper men, cameramen are there. Nobody coming this time? Then they published a cartoon in the front page of the Juganta, the second largest circulated paper in India, from one place. And in the front of the cartoon there was Reagan and Gorbachev were the Harinam Chadar and Tila. With their hands in the air dancing. Behind them there's me with my hands in the air. I don't know why he was. Then the captain said Mayapur Gosai tells everyone to chant the holy names by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, whether Dina, whether Bam. Whether left ring, whether right ring or whether left. All can be happy, including Reagan, Gorbachev, Jagai Madhai. Something like that. Maybe a little poem. So that is just like, somehow or another every day was going on. Then we thought the wrath finished. We gave news release. All right. I'll be sent to the communist party leaders, you know. But boy, they were burning, you know. They went all the way to Delhi and complained to the ambassador of Soviet Union. How is it that he had been away on a tour? He just came back. They came with all the newspaper clippings. Look at what's happened. Your representative went there and did this, inaugurated this religious function. He set us back 15 years. And in, you know, how could this happen? Actually, all Prabhupada's and Lord Jagannath. Jagannath Swami ki! Lord Chaitanya's, you know, transcendental pastime. Let's say we can't take any credit for anything. They're doing the whole thing, you know. It's like beyond any imagination that these things could happen or all the response that was there. Simply by Prabhupada's and Lord Jagannath's, Lord Chaitanya's, Yoga Maya, all these things are going on. They go there and they make a big complaint. And the ambassador, he doesn't know anything. He just came. He said, well, with all these newspaper articles, you know, this is, of course, something quite serious, and certainly our own intelligence will have to look into it and make a study, and you can take my reassurance We will do everything proper in this regard. Use a diplomatic double talk. So they published that, you know, but they published that in the paper. Then the next day, big theoretician of the ideology, what do you call it, ideology chief, some Mahaladin communist, he gives a whole editorial article on why this is not proper according to the Soviet, according to Marxism and Leninism. Of course, some other newspaper people, they say, actually, Lenin wasn't so fanatical. He said even a priest can be a member of the party if he's working for the upliftment of the masses and so on. So there was like a big controversy. Then it seemed like, then what happens? After this going to Delhi, the news hits the paper that the vice consul who had inaugurated the Rath Yatra, he gets transferred out of Calcutta. So everyone speculates, no, he got sacked. Damn it, communists are like really, you know, proud, you know, they just done it. You know, they got back at the Hare Krishna movement for this, the Soviet Union. They showed the people, you know, don't think communism is not what it seems to be, atheistic. So then, you know, a lot of devotees came and said, lie low now, you know, don't do anything. Looks like, anyway, we had our day. But actually, no, they were just given their day by Jagannath. 3 days later, the vice chairman of the Supreme Soviet Presidium, which is like the cabinet of their Supreme Parliament, Senate, he comes on a goodwill visit to Calcutta. And he meets all the leaders and everything. As he's leaving from the airport, the newspaper men say, what about your inauguration of the Hare Krishna Rath Yatra, ISKCON Rath Yatra? I said, well, I don't know anything about this. His embassy people tell him what happened. He said, why are they making such a big deal over nothing? This doesn't change the character of communism. And moreover, our glasnost and perestroika, this is within the parameter. ISKCON is a registered, recognized religion in the Soviet Union. And for a government officer to inaugurate one of their functions is within their right. They can do so. We want to just stop beating around the bush with democracy and give the people a democracy, let them practice the religion they want in the Soviet Union. So we don't know why they're making such a big deal about this. Doesn't change the character of communism if someone goes and inaugurates a Rath Yatra festival. In fact, he wasn't transferred because of that, he was promoted. Then the communists. They had nothing to say after that, you know. So Jagannath had the last word. Jagannath Sariki! Jagannath Sankirtanandaranki! So you can see that how many years together the Soviet Union devotees had been struggling, and the devotees all over the world been trying to gain the freedom for them from the tortures that they were enduring. And Prabhupada said, in the beginning people won't take it seriously, but then they'll, next thing they'll do is persecute us. But then in the end they'll accept it. So we're going through these different stages. I mean, even in America now, in different ways, where some people are laughing and some people are persecuting and a few people are accepting. You know, the persecution isn't over yet, for sure, and a lot of people, they don't take us seriously. A lot of people are favorable to hear because it's not so centralized. Each individual takes their own opinion. When some of these countries where the whole government gets involved, the government goes through these stages. But the devotees, they remain determined. In fact, in these countries where there's more oppression, it seems the devotees remain very united. Some of these countries in the Eastern Bloc, the devotees, the brahmacharis are still sleeping, you know, 20 in one little room, you know, 100 devotees share two bathrooms, you know. The old situation, you know, they don't have so many facilities. They don't have cars. They carry their book bag on those big camper knapsacks with the, you know, aluminum things. They carry like 50 kilos, you know, 450 pounds of books, miles. Going on trains and things, go distribute all the books and go back again to their depot and get more books. I mean, really, troopers, fired up. You know, what Now, if the devotee doesn't get a car to go down to the spot, he says, I won't do Sankirtan today. If I can't have a car, I'm not leaving the temple if you don't get a car from the temple. You need to take the bus. You know, walk to the corner, you know, right? There, the devotees, you know, they'll go with big knapsack with books, you know, there's no question of car. They'll trek out, you know, miles to get to the nearest bus stop because they live way off in their farmers, you know, some distant place, hidden away where no one can see it, you know. And they're going, you know, risking being arrested, you know. And when they get arrested, it's not like when we get, you know, all right, you got arrested, $30, you know, misdemeanor fee, don't do it again. Okay, officer, sorry. Call the temple president, get you out. There you're arrested, you know, see you in 30 years. Potentially, see you in 5 years. Still they're going out and doing it, you know. I mean, it's like when our parents would say, remember that people are hungry in India, eat all your food, you know. It's like, actually, when the devotees make so many conditions to do a little service, to remember how so many other devotees in different countries, they're struggling so much. I mean, it's not like there's no facility here. There's no, that's what people can't believe. There's so much facility still, you know. No one's satisfied. So, yeah, we can see that because of their sacrifices, how Lord Chaitanya blessed. And I heard from Kirti Raj Prabhu that actually the devotees in Soviet Union are doing Harinam outside the Museum of Atheism in Leningrad 3 days a week. And almost for every, when they, for almost every day they go to the Red Square and they do Harinam. And there, you know, one day the police first came, what are you going to Harinam in Red Square, you know? And the devotee is preaching, no, this right now legal, this authorized, this is purifying Russia, this, you know, is giving a whole lecture. So, you know, that's a busy place. So hundreds of people gather around. Pretty soon they're like surrounded by people and he's giving the cop a lecture and the guy says, no, you can't do it, and the people start supporting him. Why not? This is good, we like it. So then the guy backs off, you know, they're doing Harinam. So they're really, so anyway, that was, it's not going to be over, I'm sure. But the whole Rath Yatra was really top of everyone's consciousness during the because of this whole Soviet dedication. And now they're trying to get 50 Soviet devotees to come to India for the festival, do a big tour around India also. So if that happens, it will be a big effect in India. India and Russia are very friendly, of course. Everyone sees it that way. So this is good if we can use the Indian friendship to also preach Indian culture of Chaitanya Charita, Mahaprabhu there in Russia. So, it's glad I could have a little service I could offer, probably to the cause. This really, you can see it's a teamwork. And in the team, I probably had the least to offer. Being well known there, they put my name a lot. Anyway, after that Rath Yatra festival, I did some preaching in the Middle East, again for certain security reasons. I don't know if I should mention the country, but we had some preaching in Arab countries also. Mainly the expatriate Indians that work there sponsor it, but like that we preach. And when I came back and went to Bangalore, where the government had authorized, had given a sanction to give us 7 acres of land worth $3 million, $2 million, 30 million rupees, roughly, just approximately, right in the city center, not center, but in the city proper, a little on one side. But so they are doing some formalities about getting that possession, and we have to raise, in 90 days they have to raise 700,000 rupees, about $50,000, which is peanuts for that. But didn't have any money as usual, so they had to do a big drive to get the collection. So I went there and saw the whole situation, and decided that this year I would spend with them for the Janmashtami festival. They could get the governor to come and get everything arranged. Then I went back to Mayapur, where we had the Julan Jatra. No, then I went to Malaysia for a Rath Yatra. Mayapur, then Malaysia for a Rath Yatra, then Thailand, then to Bangladesh, where it was flooded in our temple. We had to go to the temple, I had to go by a little boat. Actually, we reached there late. So it was already dark, and they had this little, like, canoe. But instead of canoe as a high, it's a very low side, and I had my computer, my big suitcase, everything. We had to go 3 miles over the flooded fields in the dark on his canoe. And there was big black clouds coming. And then all of a sudden, there began a big wooden boat comes. I said, let's go by the boat. And they wanted the boat. He said, no problem. Let's go by the canoe. It's fast. I said, we'll go by the boat. So then we got on the bigger boat. Sure enough, we get in the middle of this open fields. It's like 10 feet of water, flooded everywhere. And this big storm hits, you know. That boat's with a canoe would have definitely sunk with all that stuff in it. So somehow we get to the temple, and it's all water everywhere. But the buildings are just out of the water by 1 inch. And, you know, it's a problem where to do certain things, how to go from one temple to the next. So they did is they put bamboo walkways from one place to the next, one bamboo a little. And still, somehow, when we went there, because there was about several hundred people gathered to see me, and we had lectures and things, and there was made a program how to what to do. They're building a big temple there. This is at Lupin Sanatan's birthplace, reported birthplace. It's where the paternal home where their parents lived. So it's assumed that they were born there, but there's no definite thing that they were born exactly there, or maybe some other place. But that was where they grew up for the first 10, 12 years of their life. So anyway, it's definitely a holy place of Rupin Sanatan. So we made a Smriti Tirtha there, and the local villagers gave us about 20 acres or so of land, a big piece of land. So we're building a huge temple there with donations from devotees from Australasia and anywhere in the world that wants to give. So I saw that project and gave a donation for flood relief of 3,000 to them so they could distribute some prasadam and go on. Then we went back to over the river again, over the flooded area. Pundarik Dham, Pundarik Vidyanidhi's birthplace, there's a beautiful temple there, and the Jagat, the temple of Vasudev Datta, where the Taigwar deities are installed. Mukunda Datta and Vasudev Datta lived near Pundarik Vidyanidhi, very holy places in eastern Bangladesh. And I left. At that time, the biggest floods had started. I didn't hear it, how much our temples were affected by the flood money. I think the bigger floods mainly affected the central Bangladesh. We were already flooded, but the bigger floods, I don't think, affected it so much, but I'm not sure. I didn't send an SOS. I went to Nepal, and there the former Prime Minister invited me to see him, and he requested we're having a big World Hindu Federation meeting in Mauritius in September. You must come. I asked whether I have to go, and he said, not that I'm inviting you, I'm demanding you must come. I was like, pray, please, you know. This is essential. This is a very important meeting. We need you to come urgently. Please come. So then I got made all the arrangements with Giriraj Maharaj to go. That's why I delayed my coming by a week here. I was supposed to come a week earlier to go to Mauritius for this big World Hindu Federation meeting. We did preaching in Nepal. There we have a nice piece of land to build a temple. We're trying to now I have to design the temple. Then I went to some preaching in Patna, Bihar. Then went back to Mayapur. Then it was Julan Jatra in Mayapur, swing festival. Then we flew to Bangalore for Rath Yatra and Balaram's appearance day. And they moved the deities. By that time, they got the possession of the land. They paid the money to the government. The government gave them a certificate. And a 9-day festival was planned from Balaram's appearance day to Krishna's Janmashtami. And then Prabhupada's appearance day, the governor was going to come, the Vyas Puja day. It was a big celebration. So on Rath Yatra day, we carried Krishna and Balaram from their temple to the new land where the little temple had been built. The land's like on a hill. On top of the hill, they're situated. There's a big pandal there, and for 9 days they had every night big performing artists and movie stars coming and singing bhajans for Krishna Balaram. Then on Janmashtami, then I went a tour of South India. I went to Guruvaya where they want to give us land to build a facility there for this very ancient temple established by Brihaspati and Vayu, in a place which was worshipped and worshipped by Lord Shiva himself. His deity was the deity worshipped in Dwarka by one of the queens of Krishna. So that deity is a very famous temple in India, most famous temple in Kerala, the second most famous in South India after Tirupati. So they want to give us a facility there. Lord Chaitanya traveled in all these areas, met the king of Travancore, the ex-king, former ruler, who was running their Padmanabha temple where Lord Chaitanya visited, then did some preaching programs there, preaching program in Madras. Prabhu Shumaras came for some functions also. Then they came back, and then in the Bangalore function, after we did Janmashtami and everything, Abhishek to the capacity crowd, we had a fancy dress where all the kids dressed up in different costumes like Krishna and Radha and the Pandavas and so on. Then they had a big competition. About 5,000 students participated in the competition on the Krishna book, different Vedic literatures. They gave prizes out. Then the governor of the state, he came along with ministers and big politicians, and they formally inaugurated the project. They consecrated the land for the project. And he gave a talk, and he said that the Krishna conscious movement is doing very good work. But we have to be able to recognize that there are many institutions. Some are good and some are bad. But ISKCON is one of the best institutions. So there are many people who partake in the dress of Swami, but they don't live up to it. But ISKCON is fulfilling them. So he was speaking very highly of the Krishna conscious movement. And he inaugurated that land and Prabhupada's Vyas Puja, Prabhupada's there, the garland, Prabhupada praised Prabhupada. And it's especially a Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cultural center, an educational center will be built there with various facilities for training the people in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's culture. So then after that, again I returned back to Mayapur, where the head of the district had a meeting. He wants to do a very comprehensive development of Mayapur. The only thing is when I'm in Mayapur, I don't know where to begin. So that's whenever I'm in Mayapur, I haven't really given so many details, but simultaneously the samadhi is being constructed. We're trying to put all the marble on top of the dome by Gaur Purnima. There's work is being done on the Ganges to try to stop the erosion. There's been 2-3 government meetings. They're going to widen the road, put in street lights, put in running water, public latrines, bus stop, parking lot, and move all those horrible shops out from front of the temple to a little mini market. Little bazaar. A bazaar. So we had 2-3 meetings on this topic, so I had to go back for a meeting on the 8th again, and all the government officers came out and finalized everything. We showed them the piece of land we were willing to give them for the mini market. We had to give them a piece of land and then move all those stores out. So then I flew to Malaysia, where we had another Rath Yatra. We're going to have 5 this year. It's the third one. And a national meeting. Then from there, we went to Thailand and met Kavi Chandra Maharaj and some other preachers, where we just published a book on Lord Brahma, and they're publishing a book, some more books there, and doing preaching in the colleges in Thailand. And I flew to Bombay and met the former Prime Minister of Nepal, who's the chairman of the World Hindu Federation, which is an organization trying to bring in all Vedic, Buddhist, Hindu, Jain, Sikh organization under one umbrella. Anything that comes from India, it's a real khichdi. But with a good purpose. But they want to try to see that they get equal rights. They're persecuted in different countries. They want to see that there's a unity amongst them, because a lot of times there's misunderstandings and that. So it's a good purpose they're trying to fulfill. Although, you know, Prabhupada already said that the real thing to achieve would be done by uplifting everyone's spiritual consciousness. But anyway, at least it's an attempt. So usually at least type of function, there's no Vaishnavas at all. And as a result, these are all big leaders from different countries. Some countries we have problems because we don't coordinate well enough with the different Hindu organizations, and they think sometimes devotees, we are not Hindu, because, you know, we don't preach that we're sectarian. But they take it the other way, that you're not identifying with Vedic culture or something. You don't explain it properly to them. So to try to smooth out the misunderstandings that, you know, we don't use the word Hindu because it's not in the Vedas. So we take the word Hindu to be something not very formal. And then even many people who wrote and they say the same thing, but just for convenience, they use the name. So because there are some misunderstandings in different parts of the world, so I met different leaders there and made some good rapport with them. They said they would help to lift the ban. And one leader of the, they said there was like some problem in Indonesia that worked to get rid of that. One country said they wanted to buy 50,000 Bhagavad Gitas in their language. The Prime Minister of Mauritius, he personally inaugurated the function. He came, accepted a Bhagavad Gita from me, and spoke for a few minutes. He was very favorable, said, please come again to our country. And it was a very good contact. So they actually were inspired. Like one lady was the head of the movement for uplifting the women in Indian culture. So she said, actually, this is such a big job. I don't know where to begin. I don't know what to do. And so then after she gave her old talk, so how big and important a service it was, I explained how, like in Nupanihati, we have a Sunday school in Atlanta where the students come and they learn every Sunday. Does the Indian community come here and learn? And how in different parts of the world we have Namha, and how the most important thing, of course, is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, or any name of God. And this kirtan and sankirtan is so important. So they actually appreciate it very much. So, well, it's actually even mentioned that these are very good ideas. We didn't think about all these things. So hopefully, by a little austere going to this type of Hindu conferences, because the whole situation there, it's not so, you know, it's mainly organizational, not so spiritual. But try to give a little bit of association to them so that they'll be more open, receptive to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement at this time. And apparently they are, because then they proposed that I should be made an executive member of their executive council, the controlling body of the organization. And they also approved a proposal I made. They got it cleared with the king to have a radio that broadcasts the message of the Vedas from Mount Everest all over the world, the shortwave. But now they want that we should help to put it up. So I had to get someone who knows about this to make a feasibility study. So anyway, after that function, I basically came directly here to America, stopped in Tokyo for a day with Harinam in the Shinjuku area with all the devotees, and then came here in L.A., New Orleans, New Telebon, Murari Seva Farm, program last night, in Huntsville, and here I am, and back home in Nupanihati. Didn't have a lot to report this time. We can see, actually, all over the world. Of course, I don't travel much outside my zone anymore. Just a few. We get reports, and actually the devotees are very enthused. Actually, Krishna conscious movement is progressing very nicely. We can see that how big an impact having this worldwide movement. Prabhupada wanted that we remain united throughout the entire world, and how this actually has such a big impact, as compared to like just being divided or splinter groups and things like that. He said the most dangerous thing was, you know, have schisms. Actually, the devotees are more united now. We just had a GBC meeting in Dallas, actually, North American GBC, discussing various national or continental cooperation. It was a very positive meeting. And that's why Niranjan Maharaj came here. He came from that meeting also. They asked me that, there's some extraordinary situations here that developed in the zone. So they asked me to spend some more time here till Vapurnima. So I'll probably be, I wasn't planning to spend much time this year in North America because I'd been asked to spend more time in Mayapur and Bengal. But now I have to adjust a little bit, and I'll be probably spending more than anticipated, 3 weeks to a month, at least of the remaining year, up to Gaur Purnima, Vaishnava year. Are there any questions? Pardon? Yeah. Well, there was some rat there that I kept breaking the ropes. I had to change the ropes. The old ropes were too... They had the ropes in the previous year, and they pulled it so hard they'd tear the rope. Big, thick rope. So I had to buy a new rope. This year we had brand new rat. It was donated by one life member, and it was made out of solid steel. It looked like wood, but it was steel. Quite heavy, actually. Didn't look so heavy. It looked like wood. When we actually tried to lift it, took a lot of people, 50 people just to move one thing. They got a special used airplane tires from a jumbo jet or some big jet, and they put that on the juggernaut rather. They had this huge monstrous tire. Yeah, solid rubber with a little air. And that had a very... So we went, as I mentioned, the wildest people are North Calcutta, actually. For some reason, the streets are a little narrower, it's more densely populated. You get intensely enthusiastic people. And they're the ones who used to really pull it wildly. So we didn't have like that much of a problem that people were pulling it so much... They did break the rope a couple of times on the return run. I think just when we started. But, you see, since 84 to 88, we have 4 years' experience. Now we have a whole crew of devotees that, we have walkie-talkies given by one government agency. It's very difficult for private individuals to get walkie-talkies. And they have a loudspeaker system. We have flags. We developed a system, red and green flag. When you want them to pull, you pull up the green flag. When you want them to stop, you hold up the red flag. Then there's people that are there at the head of the ropes to push the people back in case they don't stop. So now it's like a whole team effort. And there was one or two, you know, near incidents where ladies... What usually happens is ladies get tangled up in their sari and fall down. It seems like they're going to go right under the raft, and we screech on the brakes and blow whistles, and we have an air horn, and you know, red flag, and some. Then we have whole police around the raft, the wheels, and then we have our own guards. And the police, actually, we have a cordon of volunteers and a couple of policemen, plus our own volunteers. And you know, if they get through all that, and there's one final last guy that's on a little platform over the wheel, and then he jumps down and grabs the person, throws him out from front of the wheel at a very great risk to himself. He just seemed to blow something in a short circuit. So now I don't know what's going to happen when the North Calcutta roads open again, whether we'll still, but we pretty much got under control. I mean, they're still a little fired up, but it's and we have better and stronger ruts also. So if we have a clear stretch, then we let them run for it. Sometimes the front rut gets as much as a mile or a mile and a half behind the front rut, the back rut. Jagannath is the last. Balaram is the first. Subhadra in the middle. Subhadra is mainly manned by women. Only male is the driver. Then some women were complaining that why they can't drive. But many men are also willing to pull the rat. I've heard Prabhupada say also, Shibani. They're very fired up. There's never, you know, it's like the devotees don't pull the rat. They just do kirtan. We just try to keep the devotees chanting kirtan for 8 hours straight during the whole rat, which is high enough. But they're not needed to pull the rat. In fact, people fight to pull the rat.